Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast, or rather listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling here on a Monday morning. We are recording this one late. And honestly, you know, sometimes the fresh tilt kind of gets the program where it needs to go. But I was much more tilted like during the early games. By the time we would have recorded last night, I would have moved on to abject defeat. So I don't think the Monday morning nature of this program is going to change it all that much.
No, and you know, I woke up just like feeling like a failure. Woke up cloaked in failure. And the only thing that makes this day better is knowing how goddamn bad Nate's team is. I can't wait to talk about Nate. You are a complete lunatic, bro.
There's nothing worse than these Monday morning loss episodes where I have to deal with it all night. And no, I have to wake up in the morning. And
I can't
close the windows.
You can't mentally
move on. I
can't
close the windows.
Yeah. It's actually horrible.
I close the windows.
Yeah.
And I woke up this morning knowing I'm going to have to deal with this.
You're going to have to answer for your transgressions, Nate.
So, I mean, I guess just to begin with, though, I would prefer slates like week 10 to slates like week 8 and week 9. I mean, week 9, we saw the biggest train, I think, in the history of DraftKings NFL DFS cash games. Week 8 was pretty close. Now, both of those weeks went all right for me. I can't remember if you guys, I think Nate, I think we all did okay.
We smashed, but like, this is the people's favorite show.
Yeah. So,
we all lost.
Spoiler alert.
Let's just get to it.
And here's the thing. Let me just piggyback on what you're talking about, Davis. These slates were like, you can go in so many directions and there's so many different builds.
There's a lot
and so
of
many
guys who are in play.
Yeah. I mean, I think these slates are super fun, and this is where good players like really make their money. And We all lost. I don't know. I don't know what that says, but we all like did a different build and we still all lost. So I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well, I think an argument could be made that that Sammy, our the team that you and I played just ran at about 2 percentile expectation. And I don't know what the fuck Nate did to be honest. So the cash line in the massive $50 double up, the biggest one was 153.88. Whirling Dervish won the three man 140.08.
Pathetic.
I scored 139.28, and one Mr. Nathan Noling scored 117.64. And honestly, Nate, I mean, let's just begin right here. Why did you not play Justin Fields? Like, what possessed you to do this? What is wrong with you, dude?
I thought there was like two QBs. It was Mahomes and Fields.
Correct. Those were the only two guys who were in play. If you played Tua out of fear, I know people did this. Some people played Tua straight up over Fields out of fear. You can't do that. That is like a level one mistake.
And that is unwrapping the entire box of condoms and individually placing each one upon your phallus. I mean, Tua was. Nate, you're a Bears fan. Just to give everyone context, Nate is like
I'm the biggest Fields fan. I'm the biggest Fields fan. I've watched every single one of his snaps that he's played at the professional level. And I'm a huge Fields fan. I've watched him since week. Yeah, I'm a huge Fields fan. The issue was the salary was close. Like it wasn't a $3,000 delta like it was last week with Allen and Fields. This week it was like $1,400 difference between Mahomes and in a spot where, I mean, Kansas City literally just doesn't run the ball. I mean, they hate their running backs. Mahomes is like a lock for 303 every week. And the $1,400 difference didn't feel like enough to me this week to pay down.
And the good news, Nate, is that you paid $100 in salary for every point less that Mahomes scored than Fields. Yeah. So good deal. Yeah.
So that sucks. But when I went two tight ends, the two tight ends build was so that I could get Mahomes and Tyreek. I think the fishier thing is Davis. Like, how do you go two tight ends and not get Tyreek?
I didn't play two tight ends. I thought,
was I the only one with the two tight end team?
Yeah, bro.
I thought which was I mean, every site's optimal, the blended optimal. Everyone was giving you Dulcich and Moreau because Dulcich and Moreau, there were no wide receivers cheaper than Zay Jones and Mac Hollins who were playable. So Donovan Peoples-Jones in cash ended up at 61%. Mac Hollins ended up at 25%. And apparently no one played Zay Jones. He was 5%. So everyone did DPJ. So I'll just go. My team was Justin Fields, Alvin Kamara, Damian Pierce, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Greg Dulcich, Tony Pollard. And I had the Cardinals defense in, swapped when it became clear that I was pretty dead to the Colts defense. I would do that 10 times out of 10. I thought that was the right call. Ended up costing me some money in the end, but I think that is a swap that it's just like defenses are coin flips anyway. The Colts ended up winning that game, like very easily could have gone my way. So I think, and so that was one construction, which ended up basically being Amon-Ra St. Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster instead of Mac Hollins and Tyreek Hill. Felt pretty good about that. And then the other 2v2 of my lineup versus like the group construct was, instead of playing Foster, Moreau, and Tyreek, it ended up being 6K wide receiver Tony Pollard. So Pollard, Juju versus Tyreek and Foster Moreau. Foster Moreau ends up outscoring Juju Smith-Schuster because Juju got dirty hit in the second quarter and is probably not going to play for several weeks now.
Kadarius Tony season, baby. Let's go.
Kadarius Tony and Moreau. Moreau, obviously, you know, just play this fucking asshole 4 weeks in a row. Guy does absolutely nothing, doesn't crack double digits. And then the 1 week that that I don't play him and I play Dulcich over him, I mean, of course he has to score his first touchdown of the year. So, and I mean, Kamara, 7 points, bro. Grow up.
Unbelievable.
This is, I'm actually so, I was kind of over it. And now looking at this lineup again, I'm like, I actually played pretty good. I don't think I deserved to get smashed yesterday. I actually think this was the right team.
I'm just mad that Foster goddamn Moreau gave us the blade. Like, goddamn it. Like, this guy is nonsense. He's garbage. And
he really is. It's so annoying.
Dude, he gacked a touchdown at the end too. Like, he could have really buried this.
He could have really given you the blade.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they should have thrown that to Mac Hollins.
I mean, Russell Wilson did miss Dulcich on what would have been like a 45-yard gain.
It was his fingertips.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Dulcich never caught another pass. Like, come on.
No, he did. He did catch another one in the fourth quarter. Russell Wilson got a pass batted at the line, and Dulcich grabbed it out of the air, and then it got wiped off by a penalty.
Sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just at this point, don't trust the Denver Broncos. And then Sammy, you played the same team, the same basic construct, but instead of Juju and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you played Mac Hollins and Tyreek Hill. Honestly, this is it's more of an art than a science. And I just got bad vibes about Tyreek yesterday. I didn't play him in any tournaments.
You freaking ran hotter than the sun. I mean, the fact that Tyreek in this offense, Tyreek is the highest floor, highest ceiling player we've seen.
Nate, I don't disagree with you. What I'm telling you is I just got bad vibes. That's all I got. I have no science to back this up. All I am saying was that I got bad vibes, and that is why
Tyreek has smashed too many weeks in a row. You know,
dude, you ever played roulette and it's like you see red hit four times in a row and you're like, buddy, I'm fucking betting black. That was literally my fish thought process.
Tyreek at 9,100 was a jam of men. I mean, literally, he's the most efficient player that we've seen ever. I mean, like on the touches that he gets, what he can do with the ball.
I'm not disagreeing with you in any way.
On him was always, oh, the volume's not there. Oh, he's a boomer bust guy. And now he's in an offense where he's literally like the focal point of the way that they move the ball and what they're trying to do. And so the volume concerns aren't there. He should be $10,000 and I'd still play him in cash.
Well, how expensive would a Tony Pollard have to be for you to play him in cash, Nate?
Yeah, Nate, what the fuck? Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. What's going on here, dude?
So the two teams that I was stuck with at lock were, it was like a 3v3, and it was Mahomes, Juju, and Dulcich versus Fields, Hollins, and Pollard. And I honestly just, I couldn't pull the trigger on two of these 4K Gus wide receivers. I felt good about DPJ.
That's why my team was objectively the best.
And I was like, I'm just not playing Mac Hollins. I'm just not going to do it. And I felt like the Juju Mahomes combo just had such a higher floor. And then, I mean, Juju
can come. Oh, Juju, snap. Juju. You both played Juju.
Juju was well on his way to a 6-for-112 game. Like he would have been absolutely fine.
Yeah, so the old 20 yards per catch, that sounds like Juju.
When I look at that 3v3, I mean, I'm literally staring at it still because I have all the windows open on my our studio that I was looking at. But yeah, I mean, it's literally my 3v3 was Fields, Mac Hollins, Tony Pollard versus Mahomes, Juju, and Dulcich. And honestly, I still think Mahomes and Juju, even with the way that this slate played out, is just a much higher floor than going with Dulcich or going with Fields and Pollard or Fields, Pollard, and Hollins. But I mean, when Fields puts up more than Mahomes, Pollard leads all running back and scores.
Yeah, dude. Back. Like, I mean, you should not have walked in a catch this week without Tony Pollard.
Like, looking at Tony Pollard gift horse in the mouth, like, what are people going to learn, dude? This guy, Tony Pollard, in his career has 3 starts. He has over 500 scrimmage yards and 6 touchdowns in those starts. He is unstoppable. He simply cannot be stopped by Mike McCarthy. It just simply does not matter. And I saw in all my Discords and Slacks and everything, I saw people passing around this this quote that Pollard had after the last start, saying he was he was gassed, and the running back coach saying, yeah, you know, we want to keep him in that 30 guy plays 72 snaps, handles every red zone touch. Like, you just, I know I lost yesterday, and people who played against me, you know, GG's to me if you beat me or whatever. But if you did not play Pollard, you got to reevaluate some shit. That is a free. He was only 55% owned in the massive $50 double up. He should have been 80%, just as owned as Fields, basically.
You got to reevaluate, Nate. You got to reevaluate. Yeah,
I mean, we haven't even talked about the most egregious thing that Nate did, where he played Travis Etienne, who in the massive $50 double up, I guess he was 25%. So I guess
Travis Etienne, I'm not going to take any shade for that. Travis Etienne was.
You played Etienne straight up over Pollard.
Yes.
No, bad. That is bad.
If they were the same price, I think it's defensible.
No, if anything, I played Etienne over Kamara. Etienne was a cheaper version of Kamara that I thought, like,
oh, ETN doesn't get the passing volume Kamara gets.
He does. They just haven't been, like, situationally.
Nate, he has 0 games with more than 3 receptions this season.
Is that Kamara-ish, Nate? I mean, don't get me wrong. ETN is a complete boss, and he's getting a ton of work and all this stuff. I mean, he's real good, but like
Kamara had more receptions generated in his first 4 games of the season than ETN has all year.
By the way, I'm pretty chapped about this goddamn
I am extremely chapped about,
like,
this Kamara
Pittsburgh
thing.
Sucks ass, bro. Like, what? It just wasn't in the dome, so he can't get it done? Like,
I guess I'm looking at the usage. It's like there's nothing to indicate from, like, the usage that he should have busted. He got a bunch of targets. He played 79% of the snaps.
Wait, how many? I thought he only got, like, 3 targets or something. 3 or 4.
No, he got
less targets than
he got 5. But New Orleans had 21 minutes of possession. They converted 3 of 12 fourth downs. They had 10 penalties on offense. They lost. They fumbled twice. They had 186 total yards of offense. against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, for Christ's sakes, with Minka Fitzpatrick out, like, go retire. Jesus Christ. Andy Dalton, get out.
I mean, that is a game that is just begging for Jameis to come in. If the offense is really that bad, like, I get if they're winning games, if it's close and Dalton is just kind of keeping things, you know, in order or whatever. But that is completely inexcusable.
I'll tell you this. I'm actually a little surprised Pollard was that high owned. Because it wasn't
because Zeke wasn't ruled out. It was because
the field's sharp, bro.
ETR and Cardi both moved him out. Both put Pollard in and moved Zeke out. So that's gonna influence people. So let's the other team that was quite popular, Nate's team was not popular, was the team that Levitan played, which got there 160.18 points. So Levitan did the two tight end team, but he did Barkley, Tyreek, and Smith-Schuster. So we played DPJ, Dulcich, Moreau, Barkley, and he didn't play. He didn't play Kamara, or most importantly, Damian Pierce. So he got off of Damian Pierce's dust.
Yeah, Damian Pierce points. Is the thing I feel the worst about. Damian Pierce. So I don't feel bad about the ETN over Kamara thing. I think I would do that again. ETN at $400 cheaper than Kamara. I think I would do that again. I wouldn't do Pierce over Pollard. That was insane.
I just thought Pierce was still really good. So I played, yeah, I mean, all
Pierce,
three of them.
Pierce's volume is incredible, but like the fact that I played two running backs and not one of them was Tony Pollard and I had Pierce. Yes. I should have. That's bad.
Also,
I'll take ETN over Kamara. I don't think that's that bad.
Also, I mean, I'm quite surprised that St. Brown ended up being not like 70% owned. I mean, what more
people
want?
Up for Tyreek.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was definitely one of the best plays of the slate.
But St. Brown was the best wide receiver play of the slate.
Man, I should have.
Tyreek was 37% owned. Juju was like 36% owned. You couldn't have a build of Tyreek, Juju.
I mean, I just think it is like from a median projection perspective, I don't see how St. Brown and Smith-Schuster doesn't out-project Tyreek and Mac Hollins. That was really the 2v2. And I don't see how you can feel better about Tyreek and Mac. Like, Mac Hollins stinks, dude. What are we doing with Mac
God,
Hollins?
Remember that week when Nate played Hollins, like week three or whatever?
Yeah, and I haven't touched him since. You got to know when to play these guys.
Mac Hollins, since that game, has maxed out at 11 PPR points per game. I guess it was.
To take the chips off the table. You got to know when to take the chips.
The reason why people got jazzed about Hollins was Renfrow went on IR and they were playing against this catastrophe of a Colts team, and then they end up losing. I mean, Hollins, I guess to be fair to the Hollins people, he played 96% of the snaps. He got six targets. I mean, it's not like the worst play in the world, but
as a Hollins person, thank you for throwing those secondary stats out. Davis,
but I just think
the only reason Hollins was okay is because of Tyreek and how crazy Tyreek's projection was on this slate.
But I think people were getting a little light on how good Amon-Ra St. Brown is in games where the Lions are going to be forced to move. I mean, he is. It's like, dude, he's pretty much locked in to 6 for 60 at the worst in a game where Goff has to throw 35 times. That's like about as bad as he can do.
And I don't think people realize, like, with Hockenson gone, the amount of volume, he's like guaranteed a 30 to 35% target share every single week. And at 6,900, even though it wasn't a dome, he was a good play.
And the Bears defense absolutely stinks butt.
It was out of the dome. That's what got me. I was like, well, maybe he only goes like 7 for 85 or something.
Yeah, I do think Juju was like a really good play at that price too. Like Juju over the last couple of weeks has become, and I was not a Juju seasonal guy coming into the year. I ripped on you guys quite a bit, but Juju
he's got a really good role now. And I thought so specifically with the Juju thing, I was pretty confident that the Hardman injury was going to move him like almost 100% of his snaps in the slot. And that is what was happening, obviously, until he died. Fucking brutal.
Kadarius!
Yeah, Kadarius. Kadarius, by the way, at 5,000, I did not play any of him in my tournament lineups.
You're a coward.
Well, okay, let's just go there.
Whoa. Have we said Nate's team out loud?
No. So let's I'll walk through it.
Oh God, the people got to hear this.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Travis Etienne, Damian Pierce, Tyreek Hill, Juju Smith-Schuster, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Greg Dulcich, Foster Moreau, and Cardinals D.
Jesus H. Christ. 0.64. This guy played two tight ends, did not play Tony Pollard, and did not play Justin Fields.
Well, you don't play two tight ends and punt at you pay two tight ends so that you can get the top price wide receiver and the top price quarterback. Like, that's why you do it. That's the
Nate,
I think this was a mentally weak moment. I think this was you. I think in your heart of hearts, you were like, I can't really pay $6,500 for Justin Fields. I think that's what you did.
No, honestly, it came down to I'm not playing two of these dust 4K wide receivers. I'm not playing freaking Matt Collins again.
Yeah,
you got All it. Right. You got it, let's, Davis.
Let's do the tournament teams. I obviously did not play Justin Fields yesterday, so I didn't bink anything. My primary strategy was giga stacking the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Kansas City Chiefs game. The team that I played in the SPY, Patrick Mahomes double stacked with Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce, double bring back with Zay Jones and Christian Kirk. I played Tony Pollard at 36%. Damian Pierce at 24%. I actually thought was fine. I thought 24% given that one, I don't think the Giants are very good, and he does have this gargantuan role. I thought that was fine. I used Treylon Burks as my salary guy. And Treylon, I actually thought, was going to be more owned than he ended up being. 8% in the SPY. I would make that play again. He played 56% of the snaps. The Titans threw more than anticipated. He got six targets for 3K. A guy as good as him. I feel pretty good about that. The play I don't feel good about was the Vikings defense. I thought with Allen starting, I thought that they would be closer to like 8-9%. No, they still ended up super chalk, 18-20% in these big tournaments. And obviously they ended up getting there thanks to that absolutely insane ending sequence of the game.
Buddy, that was off the rails.
From a real football standpoint, that was the best game I've watched in
years. It was crazy. Yeah, it was. Oh, I mean, it wasn't as good as the Bills-Chiefs playoff game, but it was, I mean.
Dude, that Justin Jefferson catch, that has to be the greatest catch of all time.
Considering the stakes.
Context included.
Yes.
Context included, that has to be the greatest catch of all time.
Yeah. I definitely agree. So I was big. I was big on that Kansas City Jacksonville Jaguars game. I mean, how many times did Trevor Lawrence end up throwing it? Trevor Lawrence, the thesis was basically the Chiefs get up 21-0 at the end of the first half, and then Lawrence chucks it 55 times. That's pretty much what ended up happening. But obviously, what you needed to win. I mean, the team that won the 200K spy yesterday scored 20 more points than everyone else. Listen to this fucking team. Unbelievable. Oh, Justin Fields, Saquon Barkley, Travis Etienne, but wait. Christian Watson, 35 points. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 25. Christian Kirk, 34. Cole Kmet, 23. Jeff Wilson Jr., 25. Vikings defense, 15. 238 points to win the spy. Unbelievable stuff.
Alpha. He's probably the only person in the whole tournament who played Christian Watson.
He was 2.8%. So a couple people.
No way.
Definitely. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he got a little bit of pub. There were a couple sites. Our friends over at FTN were on him pretty big. And I like sometimes when those guys blow up, you're like, there was no way that was a good play. I think it was totally reasonable. Obviously, me personally, I'm not playing any Packers. But I think it was totally fine. But the thing that people love to see is Nate, what did you roll out there, buddy? What galaxy brain nonsense
do we
have from Mr. Nolan today?
I don't think this one is as galbrained as usual. I have been looking at the way I construct. So this one's not as
stack.
No, this one's actually not as galbrained. So I went Josh Allen. I mean, I thought the Josh Allen, like
this was a great spot. I got to compliment you. Josh Allen at these percentages was great.
So I got Josh Allen in the 100K red zone at 2.7%, which I would do every time.
Which wide receivers did you use?
So I went Devin Singletary and Dawson Knox. I thought that if he was hurt at all, what you would get is more dump offs to Singletary and more throws to Knox versus kind of the deeper shots to Gabe Davis. and Diggs. So I felt good about that. And then I brought it back with Jefferson, and being able to get both Allen and Jefferson felt great. Also paid up for Tyreek. Like I said, I couldn't have been higher on Tyreek. My projection for Tyreek, like, basically broke everything. And then I had a Treylon Burks as my kind of punt, to make it work. And then I had a Damian Pierce Texans D, correlation, but yeah, it didn't get there, 137.8, but
wow. This is a wild week. Nate bones it off in cash and puts together a good tournament lineup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time on tournaments this week, and maybe it screwed my cash teams.
And then you didn't play Pollard in cash. This is a good lineup, Nate. I like this. My lineup.
I played a Josh Allen team in the smaller red zone as well. I mean, obviously nothing ended up mattering yesterday because of Kmet and Fields. Yeah. But I did think the Josh Allen, I always use Dawson Knox with Josh Allen because it just fills tight end.
It just works. Like, it just works. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I triple stacked Josh Allen in mine. I did Singletary, Gabe Davis, and Dawson Knox.
Alpha status.
Well, did buddy.
Did you bring him back with Jefferson?
Yes.
Bring him back with Jefferson?
Brought it back with Jefferson. And of course, not even fucking close because Justin Fields.
Yeah. I played this in the $100, the big spy, and I actually did cash. I finished like 243rd, something like that. I stacked Lawrence and Christian Kirk and brought it back like a stone ass alpha with Kadarius Toney.
Amazing yeah. Alpha play. I mean, all you had to do was have two in-game wide receiver injuries and you were
$5,000 Kadarius Toney. What percent was he on?
Like two.
Let's see. Kadarius was 5.2%.
Dang.
So that's one out of every, it's thought. A scientific fact. One out of every 20 people is an alpha. I mean, Kadarius Toney was going to smash.
He did end up playing 28 snaps yesterday, which I guess was higher. I mean, obviously because Juju got injured in the middle of the game. So good for you, bud.
Thanks, man. Thanks. I was big on Tony in tournaments and obviously ran real hot with that. I played Chubb and Pollard. I thought Chubb was one of these guys who like had of running backs. He had close to the highest ceiling and was just going to be sparsely owned. And he was 5.5% owned. And then I played Justin Jefferson as a one-off, which was a big smash. And then I had a mini correlation with our boy Dawson Knox. But this, I played the Steelers DST because New Orleans.
I played a bunch of the Steelers DST instead of the Cardinals.
Yeah. Andy Dalton's just a freaking train wreck. And TJ Watt was back. I don't know if you know who TJ Watt is, Davis, but defensive
he's,
player.
He's not the to play tomorrow.
He's not the mega defensive end is the guy who plays for the 49ers. TJ Watt is JJ Watt's little brother, right? But then
TJ Watt's a monster, dude.
Yeah.
He's like an actual single player that changes.
Is he the guy who won defensive player of the year instead of Donald last year?
Yeah.
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 That seems bad.
Yeah, Nate's right. We shouldn't have played Kamara because TJ Watt was back in.
You gotta be aware of the individual defensive matchups.
Got to get your hand in the dirt. When the heartbeat of the defense is back, Davis, they're gonna play with more heart.
Yeah. Well, I buried the lead because I had one last roster spot in this lineup and I used it on Mac Hollins.
I was gonna say it sounds like a Mac Hollins spot for sure.
Shit play.
I wasn't gonna play. Well, I mean, DPJ ended up being really popular in these tournaments
because DPJ is like actually getting volume at that price.
Yeah,
like his targets have been consistent, and there's all those. I don't buy into the nonsense, but there's the Amari Cooper splits.
That's literally like I was debating Mac Hollins versus DPJ and I was like, oh, it's on the road. You got to play DPJ instead, like 100%.
I mean, I would have played. Athlete like this can't sleep on the road. Like he just can't.
Nate, I literally am such a fucking nerd about like all this sleep stuff and how it impacts performance. I literally think it's that Amari Cooper does not get good sleep unless he's at his house. That's my working theory.
Somebody get this guy a Whoop band and help him with his sleep. Let's get him on the Huberman Lab podcast. And talk
yeah,
about
we got to, we got to get this big guy taking Apigenin before bed. Like we need to, we like, he's got to figure
maybe,
it out because
maybe the carnivore diet.
Some magnesium and some solid. Oh man.
Yeah, he needs sleepy tea, magnesium, Apigenin, and he needs to get
him some blue light blockers. Yes. His teammates need to get him some blue light blockers. This needs to be solved.
So I've noticed this. I think there's like kind of a new meta for tournaments, which is I think you just don't fight the chalk at running back for the most part. But I think the place to get to be purposely differentiating is the high upside expensive wide receiver. So for example, Lamb yesterday, 2%, 41 points. Justin Jefferson, 2%, 38 points. Christian Watson.
Justin Jefferson at 2.4%. Like, come on.
But and then look, you know, the ownership, DPJ, 31%, 14. Juju, I mean, he got hurt, but whatever. Now, Kirk and Amon-Ra St. Brown smashed, but Tyreek, Waddle, MVS, Hollins, Claypool, Pickens, Amari, like these guys all pretty much suck. So I this is the way I've been, and obviously this is like a really tired talking point, and people are so sick of it by week 10 of the season because the chalk has been getting there so hard. I've made a pretty significant change in how I mess with teams, which is I'm not consciously being like, if this is the most owned stack, I can't play it. Or if this quarterback is going to be 15%, I can't play it. Or if this running back is 35%, I can't play him. What I'm more trying to do is get direct leverage in like two or three spots, avoid playing the most owned defense, and then just kind of letting the chips fall where it may, because projections are too good and the field is too good that I think a lot of the times, I mean, we saw it yesterday, like Fields was 30%, Kmet was 15%. And like, if you didn't have those guys, you were dead. You were stone dead, and I'm just not fighting that anymore.
Nate, let's get a take.
I have no like analysis. I feel so humbled. I can't give any analysis, but I do think like that's where the upside has always been. I think wide receivers, the volatility and just what they can put up. So anytime you can get a Justin Jefferson or a CeeDee Lamb or these guys who are capable of 40 point smashes at 2%, you're just not going to get that from these chalk running backs as often. I mean,
yeah. And especially because
there's not a 2% owned running back that's going to put up 40.
Exactly.
Right. But I think that's always been true.
It's not new. It's just coming to full fruition at this point.
Well, what's different is that a guy who maybe would have been 20% two or three years ago is now 40%, right? Like you're not having people randomly playing just like bad plays. Like the field is just not really wasting their time on like stone bad plays anymore, basically.
Except for Matt Collins, sure.
Hey, I mean, he played 96% of the snaps, buddy.
God damn it, Nate.
Justin Fields is 7,600 against the Atlanta Falcons this next week. What are your thoughts?
I have not like been this into a NFL quarterback in so long, because honestly, I don't know if you guys know how bad the Bears QBs have been over the years, but this is
I'm really
struggling with like this mental bias here of like how much I love Fields and trying to tamper that down for my DFS exposure. And this week I should have just jammed him.
Yep. All right. Let's get out of here.
He's legit Lamar Jackson. I mean,
well, Lamar's a much more efficient passer, but he can get there.
This dude has set the NFL record for rushing yards over a 5-yard sample for QBs.
Let's leave it with this. Let's do, where does Justin Fields rank in the NFL in total rushing yards? Not rushing yards for a quarterback, not anything else. Where do you guys think Justin Fields ranks in the NFL in just pure rushing yards through 10 games?
I'm going 8th.
Nathan?
Oh, no, I'm going way higher. I'm going top 5, and I'm saying he's behind only, like, maybe Derrick Henry. And he might even be, like, top 2 or 3.
He's 6th behind Saquon, Derrick Henry, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs, and Damian Pierce. More rushing yards than Dalvin Cook. Way more rushing yards than Lamar, Ramondre, Jonathan Taylor, Kenneth Walker, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey. Sixth in the NFL in rushing yards. And this man is eligible at quarterback.
Hot take, he ends the year top three. Because the first 3 weeks of the season, he barely ran.
I think that I don't want to be this guy. I do think there's going to be a little bit of a correction here for him. I hope I'm wrong.
He's not going to rush for 150 a game.
Well, what I think is good. So the back end of their schedule, it's not going to come these next 2 weeks because they play the Falcons and the Jets, but they go Packers, Eagles, Bills for 3 weeks after that. I predict a little bit of an adjustment period for
It's been the goddamn coolest that he's like hanging out at like 70, 60 yards, like by halftime. And you're like, oh, he should get there. And then he just rips off a 70 yard
40
run.
Yard touchdown.
And you're like, oh, snaps. I'm going to be rich. I mean, we actually did not get rich, but still, it was still cool.
Yeah. I mean, we needed Sammy. I mean, for us to have gotten there yesterday, we just needed Juju to not get hurt. I think a Juju played.
Sammy
that
didn't play.
I didn't play Juju. We needed Kamara to just not.
Well,
get
I mean that was never going to happen. The kid gets TJ Watt and the Steelers, bro. Yeah, I mean, what were we doing?
Should have known. Right. I blame myself.
Let's get out of here, guys. Everyone, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.